D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, David Janes here with you. Willie Donick expected to join the show in the final hour. But let's go to our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, and welcome in Nick Suss, Tennessee Titans reporter for the Tennessee. And hi, Nick, how are you?
I'm good. I am currently taking a refereeing test in case I need to be one of their replacement officials. So it's a good regular Wednesday. How are you guys?
We're good. How's that? How's it going? Is it?
I'm only five questions in right now, and my head is spinning.
How many questions are there?
Game. Oh, let me scroll to the bottom. How long is it?
Oh, wow.
15 questions.
Are they yes, no?
No. It's like 20 blocks of, like, player 88 hands the ball while he's trying to move forward. Is he propelling forward? It's very complicated. When I'm done, I'll text you guys and you can update. I'll let you know how I do.
The train leaves Nashville at 4 o'clock going 75 miles an hour. Like, those sorts of questions.
Yeah. Word problems, but football.
Well, good luck with that. So we're glad you're taking a break to join us. So we were just talking about Jeremiah Love. I know you've heard from a lot of Titans fans about Jeremiah Love. I'm sure you asked the Titans about Jeremiah Love and their interest in Jeremiah Love quite a bit. Earlier this week, we were wondering if we were potentially exaggerating the impact that Jeremiah Love could have on the Titans. I know that you are a football nerd. I say that respectfully and lovingly.
Sure.
I know that part of you probably wonders, like, should the Titans take a non-premium position at number 4 overall? Like, where do you stand on Jeremiah Love and the Titans? One, on their interest in him, and two, how you feel about the impact he could have on the team?
I think I'll answer in the inverse order here, because the second one, how I feel about it, it's tough to get out of my head that I don't personally think he is in the same tier that Saquon Barkley and Bijan Robinson were coming out of college. I frankly am not sure I have him in the same tier that I had Todd Gurley and Ezekiel Elliott as pure running backs. Now he's more valuable in the pass game than those guys were. But if we are looking at just pure talent of a running back who's going to go in the top 10, I said this a lot last year when we were talking about, is Abdul Carter worthy of the number one pick? You have to judge these players against the players at that same position that are usually talked about in those discussions. And I think Jeremiah Love is closer to Saquon or Bijan or any of these guys than maybe Abdul Carter was, or certainly David Bailey and Arvell Reese are. But it's hard to not view it as you're picking a running back higher than anyone else has in 7-8 years since Saquon went there, and higher than just about anybody else has this entire century. And you're doing it for a guy who I don't necessarily know if he would always unquestioned be the number one running back in a class. And that scares me a little bit. From the value perspective, from the actual Titans perspective, there's a lot more to talk about, but ask your question.
I was going to ask you, what about Love's game has you skeptical about him being worth that draft slot?
Frankly, it's the lack of usage. And I know that sharing carries is a good thing, and I think more NFL teams should share carries more often. But that points toward putting less of a premium on the individual than more of a premium on the individual. He simply didn't have that 2,700 yards from scrimmage, all-purpose kind of season that we saw from Christian McCaffrey, or that we even saw from Ashton Gentry last year, where I have not seen repeated dominance to the same degree that I did from a lot of the other running backs who have translated super well into the NFL. And let me put this with the grain of salt of, I'm not a scout. It's not my job to tell you how good these players are. I could be totally missing the magic of Jeremiah Love, and maybe the plan is use him as a 60% usage share player and have Tajay Spears be more involved than I'm imagining. But if I'm comparing him to, again, that top tier of running backs who've gone in the top 10 in the last decade, that'd be Gurley, Elliott, Fournette, McCaffrey, Robinson, Barkley, Gentry. I might be missing one, but I'm pretty sure that's everybody. I just have not seen as much volume control from him as I have from some of those other people to justify making him your A1 full-time back and using him as frequently as you'd need to get value out of the pick at 4.
And Nick, I think the reason why a lot of Titans fans are lusting after Jeremiah Love is because the Titans spent most of their free agency capital on shoring up the defense. And you know as well as I do, and Derek does, that a stout defense does help a young quarterback. But when you look at the other side of the ball, you've got Calvin Ridley coming off of a major injury. You've got Wandale Robinson who broke out, but look, he's got the reputation of being a slot receiver, and they paid handsomely for a slot receiver. Chim Dike had a fabulous season last season relative to expectation, but he's still a second-year player who was a fourth-round pick. So my question is, if the Titans decide not to draft Jeremiah Love, if they take one of the edge rushers, do you feel confident that the Titans have done enough offensively to help Cam Ward develop?
No, and that's the problem. Like, I don't feel confident that they have done enough, but I will say that it might not matter if Cam is the guy you think he is. Like, there is a world where you can just point at it and say, the dude was making spectacular progress the last 7 weeks of last season with the talent that he had, and now he's going to be having that talent plus a healthy Calvin Ridley, plus Wandale Robinson, if he was capable of progressing under an interim coach with a play caller he wasn't super familiar with until midseason, then turning it around and putting a healthy Ridley on the field, putting Wandale Robinson on the field, might be enough for Cam specifically. But if you take it out of the vacuum and look at just general trends of number one pick quarterbacks and of just first round quarterbacks in general, yeah, you'd like more. You'd like him to be able to develop alongside a number one receiver. But I do think that you kind of have to look at Cam specifically here and say, man, he did a lot in college without a true NFL caliber number one receiver. He did a lot down the stretch without a true NFL caliber number one receiver. Maybe the grade is a little bit different if he is still the player that you thought he was when you invested in him this time last year.
We're talking with Nick Suss of the Tennessean. Now, Nick, if all of this was because, yes, the Titans have quite a few holes, or they need some upgrades, not necessarily holes, sure. Because I think they did address some things through free agency, both offensively and defensively, but we know ultimately they're going to need more. But the way we're talking about, whether it be Carnell Tate, Jeremiah Love, Bailey Bane, and those guys, the real question is, should the Titans move out of that fourth pick and possibly move down even further and accumulate more assets to draft offensive linemen? Because we're saying none of this can work without offensive linemen, but there's still a void for the Titans at guard and truly at center.
That's true. That's a good way to think about it. I think that there will be value theoretically to pick a guard in the center in the second round and the third round, but that also does push your needs or your ability to improve further down if you're trying to draft two starters at those two positions. So there are some value picks. I don't want to get too into the weeds if your listeners don't know every name of every third round offensive lineman prospect and all this stuff. But like, I do think there is some talent to be found there. The real question ends up being, can you justify using two of your first three picks or even three of your first three picks on non-premium positions? I've been saying this a lot. There is a world where next year the Titans need a number one receiver, need a number one edge rusher, and have a decision to make on Dan Moore's contract and might need a left tackle. Those are three of the four most important positions in the modern NFL. And if you have to address all of those, and those are all positions you should theoretically address with first round picks, really the only two ways to do that are stink for a long time and miss out on Cam Ward's window, or trade pieces like Jeffrey Simmons, et cetera, to accumulate more early draft picks. The Titans don't want to do that, which means they kind of have a premium on using those early draft picks now to address holes that might crop up in 2027 or 2028. All of that adds up to a really, really tricky situation But I do think that if the question is simply, will you be able to find a starter on the offensive line in the mid rounds? Yes, I do think that's plausible.
Now, we've talked a lot about the guys that they can potentially draft with that fourth pick. Do you have in mind, do you have in mind anyone outside of that box? Or are you surprised they're not talking about somebody else outside of Bailey Baines, Sonny Styles, and Jeremiah Love?
I wouldn't say I'm surprised, but personally, I think the world of Mansoor Delane. I think he is an absolute superstar of a cornerback, and I think that position deserves to be lumped in with receiver, left tackle, and edge rusher as one of the four most important non-quarterback positions on the field. I know they went out and spent a ton of money at cornerback this year, but those are all three-year deals that you kind of have some flexibility on. If you have a guy that you think is that much better than everybody else in the class, I do think you should consider him, especially over somebody like Sonny Styles, who, let's face it, plays a position that if I was building a team, it would be the 22nd spot I filled out of 22. He's really good. It's just not a position I personally value all that much. So, yeah, I really like the way Mansoor Delane plays. I like that LSU pedigree at corner. I like his physicality. I like his length. I like his athleticism. He checks every box for me. I still don't know if you can justify it at four with the moves you've already made, but that would be the one other guy I'd throw on the pile.
How do you think, because, again, they're going to have to eventually address the offensive line, whether they do it in the second round, third round.
Yeah.
The Kevin Zeitler situation, mm-hmm. Do you think that's more Kevin Zeitler sort of trying to fill it out? Or do you think this is the Titans sort of waiting to after the draft? And if they don't get the guy they want, they're going to make a push at bringing Zeitler back?
I remember from talking to Zeitler and hearing Zeitler talk toward the end of the season, he seemed pretty open to and comfortable with the idea of staying in Nashville. Now, there's a difference between staying in Nashville and playing in Nashville, so we'll see if that can be worked out. But I would be surprised if there's much animus in the Zeitler camp about being here. I do think that you're usually pretty capable of finding guards in the third, fourth, fifth rounds who can at the very least be a camp body and at most be somebody who can compete for a job come September. So I do think that you have the luxury of waiting to see how the draft shapes out, but I don't want to make any guarantees. I'm not somebody who speaks in absolutes, but I would kind of be more surprised if Zeitler plays anywhere else than if he plays in Nashville.
Nick, before we let you go, you had a headline at the Tennessean recently. NFL draft expert believes Titans are totally out on Reuben Bain, referring to Daniel Jeremiah. Then you pose the question, should they be? So let me ask you that headline back. Should they be out on Reuben Bain?
No, they shouldn't. I, if you guys didn't see this, one of my zanier ideas of the offseason, I talked at length to a paleontologist who's an expert in
the arm
length.
I did see this. I enjoyed this very much.
Thank you. I kind of agree with the scientists here. You shouldn't judge any animal based off of one feature, because you got to judge an animal based off of what it actually does. What Reuben Bain actually does is produce. He's disruptive. He gets to the quarterback. He makes plays in the run game. He's incredibly productive. Now, the problem's always going to be they need speed, and he's not a speed rusher. We can leave the positional value out of this. We can just talk about traits. If they're looking for a trait to be speed off the edge, Bailey is a better fit and Reese is a better fit, even if I'm not super, super excited about teaching a guy how to play edge for the second offseason in a row. All that said, I'm not a GM. I don't get to pick players. I like Bain, but I'm a college football fan first and a traits fan second. So I've watched a lot of college football over the last 3 years, and he's been real disruptive over the last 3 years. I tend to remember that more than I remember somebody like Arvell Reese, who really only got prominent this college football season because draft people told us to pay attention to him.
Nick Suss of the Tennessean has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan, and Onik. Nick, thank you so much for your time. Good luck with the rest of your replacement ref questionnaire.
Let us know how it goes.
Yeah, appreciate y'all. I'll send you a text when I'm done.
Yes, please do. We want to know how you did. 615-737-1025. We appreciate Nick coming on the show, taking time out of his ref quiz. That's interesting. I'm not sure how I would do on that quiz. Probably really, really badly. But coming up next, let's talk about Reuben Bain. Because there was an NFL draft expert, Daniel Jeremiah, who did say something about the Titans and Reuben Bain. We will discuss that coming up next. 615-737-1025. You know what? I feel like it's time to give away some tickets. So, if you would like to be an attendee, I don't know where I'm going with this. If you would like to be an attendee at the Predators game on Saturday when the Predators take on the Minnesota Wild at Bridgestone Arena, be caller number 3 at 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to see the Predators take on the Minnesota Wild this Saturday at Bridgestone Arena. That is a 4 p.m. puck drop. 615-737-1025. Good luck. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.